again. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and this is the third little time that we've spent talking about prayer. And today I want to introduce you again and encourage you as a saint of the Lord Jesus to pray for your spiritual needs. I turn, for instance, at a great criticism that comes from Revelation 3 and verse 17. It is God that is speaking, and he is saying that the people of that church that is being addressed, he is saying that they say, "I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." Who dares to say such a thing? Only those that are arrogant before God and whose fellowship with the Holy Spirit is either broken or non-existent. Better to be like Psalm 40 and verse 17, where King David cries out, "I am poor and needy." You see, in Ephesians 6:18, we are taught that we are to be praying always with all prayer. And the word "all prayer" involves all my life, all my abilities, all my hopes, all my fears, all my personality, all my character, all my comings and goings. All. Praying for all things. It's all prayer. In the prayer that people say is the Lord's Prayer, and it never was, by the way, it's found in Matthew 6, and especially verse 11, but address this prayer, and so that you understand that I know that this is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John 17. But this that we call the Lord's Prayer was the prayer that Jesus gave his disciples. He said, "When you pray, pray this way." He gave them a method of praying. In the midst of that, he says, "Give us this day," verse 11, "our daily bread." This is Matthew 6:11. "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, most people in the Western world today have a lot of food. Here in America, there's great evidence of obesity, even amongst the young people, and great evidence that people have too much food and waste an enormous amount. One day, sitting in the city of Portland, sitting on the sidewalk, just watching people go by as I was waiting for some friends to finish their shopping, I observed a fellow that was going into the garbage pails, and he was sorting around and lifting out a piece of hamburger, a piece of bread, a piece of food of this and that and the other that people had tossed in. And then he saw a lady and two children eating some nice crispy chicken, and they didn't finish it. They just put it all back in the box, and they put the box in the trash can, and he ran from where he was to that trash can. But when he got there, there was another man that came across, and they both got in the same trash can. They almost fought over the chicken that was left, and they were eating the chicken. You know, the Apostle Paul saying, "All things be praying." There is not much poverty to that extent in this country or in the Western world. There is some, but not a lot. I looked at these two men, and my heart was just aching for them. They devoured that chicken so fast, and the last piece, they smiled at each other and they broke it apart and they shared the last piece. I was glad that the woman and the children didn't want to eat so much, just so that these fellows could fill their bellies. What a dreadful thing. In our day and in our generation, there is such poverty, but there is such poverty of heart and soul. And so we need to understand that we need to be asking God for what we need. "Give us this day our daily bread." It's a frightening thing. It's a long time ago now. But I went to Canada. I had no money to speak of, hardly any, and I was living on 10 cents a day. For 10 cents in those days, I could buy a donut, which is very healthy, I'm sure, and all the coffee I could drink. And so I would go to this place early in the morning, get my donut, which was fresh out of the oven, and then I would drink all the coffee I could take, and then I would leave. And I made it go round from that day to the next and the next day to the next. And I was looking for something, the fellow that was supposed to pick me up and take me to a preaching place and to look after me hadn't turned up. And I was deserted and I was alone. And it was very difficult for a few days there in the city of Montreal. I knew nobody. I couldn't get myself organized, and I didn't have very much money. I had enough for absolute emergency, but that was all, and I had to pay a lady $8.50 a night for staying in a house. Well, I knew what it was to be hungry, and it wasn't very fine. I knew how it was, but it wasn't a new thing for me, and so I was not in such dire states as some people might have been. But when we pray for our daily needs, let's look at the first thing, because there are seven truths here that I want to share quickly. And the first is praying for our daily needs because they are innumerable in their variety. What is my daily need? Well, now that I'm older, I've got things sorted out better, but I'm not capable of doing all the things I used to do. So I find that often my daily prayer is, can I have enough strength? Can I have enough imagination and vision to get through this day? Now, that's a good one for me. I don't have to just pray for food, but I do have to ask, and I do have to be thankful for the food that is on the table. So I say grace at every meal. I thank God for every morsel, because I know that it's His provision and His graciousness. A lady came to our house not long ago, and she had enchiladas. Now, I don't eat much Mexican food because I've never enjoyed it, to be truthful. And I didn't like to say to her, well, we don't eat Mexican food, but I saw it as the provision of God's goodness. And so I thanked her very much for these enchiladas, and my wife put them in the freezer. And I said to my wife, no, don't let's do that. Let's eat them now. Because now we don't have too much food here. And so we ate an enchilada each. And I have to tell you, they were totally delicious. So much so that I said, I want another one. So my wife cooked the second one for me. And I was very disappointed because there were only five in this dish. I was very disappointed when the next day I said, can we eat the rest of those enchiladas? That she had one and I had one and that was it. But I'd been greedy the day before and had two and she had one. God provides. He may not provide what we want, but He provides our daily bread. The second thing here, our daily needs are immeasurable in their intensity. I don't know how you live your life, but I have needs every day, and sometimes the intensity of those needs are enormous. And thirdly, they are incessant in their appeal. As soon as one need is met, another one seems to arise. Needs keep on coming. And my daily needs, though they alter, are my daily needs. Now, saints for Jesus, I'm talking to you. Do you pray, give us this day our daily bread? Provide for us our need, please. Our Heavenly Father, secondly, knows our daily needs. If you go into Matthew and chapter 6, you can discover all sorts of things that Jesus is talking about. He tells us that our Father knows before we ask what needs we need, the needs that we have. He knows before they crop up, before they come upon the screen of our experience. And quite honestly, Jesus just absolutely flabbergasts anybody that's thinking with His truth, that as we read the Word of God, His truths are revealed to us. And one is, and I think it's extraordinary, that God knows before I even think about it what I need. And it's a curious thing how things come about. I would share with you verse 8 of chapter 6, where the Lord Jesus is saying, be not therefore like unto them, the people that pray foolishly, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. He knows. God is not surprised by your prayer. He's most likely surprised by your lack of prayer. In verse 32 of this same chapter, Jesus, still speaking, says, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." God knows what you need. So talk to him about it. Say, you know, things aren't very good. Pay isn't very great. We've lost some money. We need some food. And he will supply your food. He has the needs. For instance, let me take you to Israel. In Exodus and chapter 16 and verse 35 in particular, they were without any food. They were in the wilderness and they cried out and God gave them manna from heaven. Nobody honestly knows what this means. Manna, what is it? Some people have tried to explain it. If the Ark of the Covenant is ever discovered, it may well be that we will discover what manna is because some was put in there so that people would remember that God provided food. Now, every day in the morning and evening, God rained down manna from heaven, and there was enough for the people. And he did it for 40, that's 4-0, 40 years. Now, the menu may not have been very extravagant, but they were fed. It's important to see it, because we find in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 5 that the children of Israel weren't too fashionable because they needed clothes, and God said, "When you were in the wilderness, your clothes didn't wear out. I made sure of that." Have you thought that one through, dear Christian? God can provide by not allowing your things to wear out. And then you can go into Numbers 20 and verse 11. They needed water. And Moses went before God. He said, "Look, we're so thirsty. Don't you understand? Thanks for the manna today, by the way. And thanks that our clothes aren't wearing out. But look, we need water." God said, "Take your stick and strike the rock." And that was the most bizarre thing that Moses could think of doing. A stick and a rock to produce water? How is that going to happen? But he takes his stick because he believes God. He strikes the rock, and this rock gushes out beautiful water. And all the animals quench their thirst, and all the people quench their thirst, and they have plenty of water. Isn't that remarkable? Jesus is the solid rock. Now we stand upon that rock. We build our hope upon that rock. But Jesus is also the living water. And out of him gushes this living water. Strike the rock with your repentance. Strike the rock with your love. Strike the rock with your compassion. Strike the rock with the beauty of your holiness and find how the water will gush out. And like David of old, your cup will be full and running over. God has a wonderful way of giving to us. Old Elijah was hungry. He was in the desert place and hungry. The ravens came and fed him carrion. He fed him meat. Now, I've watched the ravens out here in the desert, and I'm not so sure that I would have wanted to have been Elijah. I hope he cooked his meat well, because I see a dead deer in the side of the road and the ravens are tearing its flesh. I imagine myself as Elijah over the other side of the hill, and maybe a raven brought me some venison. Well, now that would be very acceptable. But then I see the same ravens pulling pieces of rabbit apart. I'm not so sure that that's acceptable. Then I see them pulling on rats and squirrels, and I think, yuck, I don't think I could eat that. Yet if it was God's provision, I could eat anything. Go anywhere, anytime. Now, the thing I'm saying here, God supplied to Elijah his food. He went to a widow, and she had nothing. And you find in 1 Kings 17 and verses 9 through 16 how it was that Elijah turned up and he met this widow who was collecting sticks. And he said, "Madam, I would like you to make me a cake." And she said, "How can I make a cake? I've only enough meal to make a cake for me and my son, and we're going to lay down afterwards and die." He said, "Make me a cake." Now, there's a great deal of teaching here, but put the man of God first, put God first, put the Lord Jesus first, and all these things that you need shall be added unto you. She made the cake for Elijah. She obeyed the man of God. She obeyed the word of God that was spoken by the man of God. She obeyed that word. She made the cake, gave it to the prophet. He ate the cake. She went back and looked in the pot of meal and the pot of oil, and she still had oil and meal, and made more cakes in the plural for herself and her son. And this went on for some considerable time until the famine ceased. God has a method of providing one thing or another. I take you into Cana of Galilee in the second chapter of the Gospel of John, and how it is that Jesus' mother comes to him and says to him, they've run out of wine. And Jesus says, well, so what? What's that got to do with me? And she turns, ignoring him, apparently. She turns to the servants and she says, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. And they look at him expecting something. And he says, well, fill the pots that are there, the ceremonial pots, fill them up with water. So they fill them up with water. They are obedient to what God is saying to them. And they fill them up and they pour out the wine for the feast. And they're called to account. Why, say the people, most people drink the good wine first and the bad wine to last, but you have saved the best to the last. God has always saved the best for the last. He will give you heaven at last. He will give you glory at last. He will keep you in holiness at last. What a wonderful Lord we have. But notice the provision was made. Now notice as I'm going through these stories how it is so fitting that you and I understand what is going on. In the Gospel of John later on, we find that the disciples come to Jesus and they say, hey, we don't have any tax money for the temple, or we don't have any tithe. And Jesus said, well, go fishing. You know what to do with a fishing line. So Peter cast in the fishing line and he pulled out a fish, and in the fish's mouth was the money to pay the tithe, the taxes in the temple. Now, it may well be that you have a problem somewhere that's financial, but I tell you with a great love that the Lord will work it out if you'll give it to him and ask him to help you and show you the way. He always does. He always will. He cannot break his word. He loves you with an everlasting love. He is more concerned with you than you are with yourself. So ask. And then we come to the story in the 21st chapter of John's Gospel, where it is that the disciples have fished all night and they're not a silly fish. Jesus is on the side of the water and he's got a little fire burning and he's cooking a fish. He says to the disciples when they pull their boats in, what did you catch? And they said, nothing, when we've been going all night. And he said, you're casting in the wrong side. Cast in the other side of the boat. And they pull in 153 fish. Some people have said that's because there were 153 species in the Sea of Galilee. I'm not sure about that. But they pull in 153 fish, and they have so much that the boat begins to sink, and yet their nets do not break. Peter turns to John, and he says, it's the Lord. You see, God will give you superabundantly above more than you ask or think. Do you ever think of the scripture that tells us that eyes have not seen nor ears heard, neither has the mind of a man considered the things that God will give him if he asks? The third thing I would like to bring to you is that the Lord is really ready and willing to meet our daily needs. In chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 8 tells us this again. Be not therefore like unto these people that distrust God. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. Now, it's easy for me to say that to you, but I have to say to you, I have proven this over and over and over again. It's important for you and for me to understand that God knows what things we have need of, and he is ready to give it, but he's wanting us to ask. Notice the words, before ye ask. Now, if you go to Philippians 4:19, the apostle writes that God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Right now, this program, very kindly and very wonderfully, is provided, sponsored by the church in Christmas Valley, the community church, and they are very gracious to do this thing. And I've had a lot of feedback in the last few weeks of how people are receiving this word, both abroad in England and in other countries and here in America. For we're putting it out over the website as well as this program. It's the same program, but we're putting it out on the website. And I think that's a wonderful thing to have done. But it's the church that has paid for this. Isn't that wonderful? Now, if the church seeks not to pay for it, will we go off the air? No. And the reason we will not go off the air is this: my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. So, we don't have to appeal to people to give us money. We have to ask God for the money to keep this program going. And that's what we will do. Then there's a fourth thing here. His supply is often dependent on our asking. James 4:2 tells us, ye have not because ye ask not. There is a time that God wants us to be asking. Think of the needs and bring them to the throne of grace in prayer. And with boldness, lay your requests in front of God. Make your request known unto God. The fifth thing is this: the Lord encourages us to pray for our daily needs. He is anxious to prove his sufficiency, to gain his help in every situation. You and I need to see and heed his promises, and his promises are in his word. If you're not reading the word of God, you'll never discover his promises. And then I bring you to the sixth thing. His method of supplying our daily needs in answer to prayers are very varied. Sometimes there's a direct answer. 1 Kings 18 and verses 36 to 38, we discover how it is. A woman has no money, and Elijah says, well, what have you got? She says, I've got a little drop of oil in a pot. He says, well, go to all around all the village and borrow all the pots you can and pour your little amount of oil in those pots. The woman thinks he's a little mad, I think, but she sends her boys off and they come back with all these pots and pans, and she starts pouring her small amount of oil into the pots and pans, and suddenly all the pots and pans are full. And she still has a small amount of oil in her own pot. A little is much when God is in it. You may not have much to give, but like the woman that gave the mite, it was all she had. Give what you have and let God do the dividing. A few fishes and two loaves of bread caused 5,000 and another time 4,000 to be fed. My dear friends, God can do exceeding abundantly above all that you and I can ask or think if we would just understand what he does. Sometimes the answer is indirect, and sometimes he answers our needs through people. I've got to stop there. I won't get to the seventh. It's enormous that you and I understand that we have a loving God and we have to learn to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. We need to be praying that prayer often. We need to be often seeking the face of God. Meet my needs for the day, Lord. Oh, not going down to the various stores and filling our carts with all kinds of things that we need and may not need. Never mind the spurious spending. Come before God and spend your money and spend it to his glory. Let him provide you with enough. We have an enough God. And because he is the enough God, we can put our trust in him. Dear people who are listening to all of this, I say to you with great love, learn to pray and to pray without ceasing, to be constantly in prayer and to pray for your daily needs apart from everything else. Pray with me now. Lord Jesus Christ, open our hearts that we may see the great opportunity of presenting to you the intimate things of our lives, that we may pray for our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread, for we ask it that Jesus Christ, the bread of life, shall have the preeminence in the lives that we live, for we ask it in His name and His alone. Amen. Thank you for being here and listening, and the Lord be with you. Bye-bye. God bless.